And as I was thinking about this story last week, some ideas came to my mind. One of the things that I'm doing right now as pastor of this church is I'm attempting to visit all of the small groups. Small groups, please be patient with me as I get around. I'm trying. If I haven't contacted you yet, please feel free to contact me and make some arrangements. How's that for a little announcement that I could just kind of slip in? But I was thinking about, as I visited one of the small groups of our young leaders, I was reminded of a great kindness shown to us not too long ago, a while back, by some of the young leaders of this church. As you may know, my wife just finished the nursing program not long ago out of Red Deer College. And as you may imagine, that's a very challenging time. It's a very full time for us. Towards the end of the program, some of the young leaders of our church decided to make some meals for us. It was a very touching time for us. We felt like our burden had been lifted. It was an unexpected surprise. It was a beautiful act of service, and it helped us get through that very challenging time. And I was reminded that sometimes in life, God really surprises us with unexpected blessings, doesn't He? Undeserved grace. Things that we just do not expect, but it happens, and God is just working. He's always working, but we just feel Him close, and we feel His love through His people. And I thought of that story as I was reflecting on John chapter 13, because this happened to the disciples too. Something completely unexpected occurs in our story when Jesus washes their feet. Now think about this for a moment. I know this ancient world is long past, and we don't understand every part of it. But Jesus was a teacher, a Jewish rabbi, highly esteemed in his culture, at least the rabbis were. Jesus, of course, wasn't always esteemed by everyone, but by his disciples he was, highly honored and dearly loved and respected. I don't think that Jewish rabbis generally washed the feet of their disciples. That's what we see in this story. A complete, unexpected act of hospitality and grace that must have just completely shocked the disciples. But perhaps you're thinking, well, what's the big deal? Just like a little foot washing. Like, what is really the big deal about that? Maybe this idea is new for you. We see back in those days, in the Bible days, and especially in the area of where the Bible, or the story of the Bible occurs in the Middle East, it was generally quite hot. And back in those days, as I understand, people did not usually wear closed-toe shoes. I wonder what that'd be like, to wear sandals all the time. I think some of you would probably like that, wouldn't you? Well, you can imagine, as the people walked around in a hot country, walking on dirt roads because there wasn't a lot of pavement back then, sometimes their feet would get dirty. Even if you were clean all over, your feet might get dirty. I invite you to imagine that you're walking to a friend's house, and you're wearing your sandals, and it's hot. You're heading there for a birthday party. You can't wait to get there. You're walking along a dirt road, and it's a little bit windy, and it's dusty. You've showered, you're ready for this party, you've done your hair and all that. You've got your nice party clothes on. But by the time you arrive at your friend's party, your feet are dirty. But no worries. This is the ancient Jewish world. When you arrive at your household, guess what happens? You sit down and the servants wash your feet. Wouldn't that be interesting to experience that? A servant washing your feet? But this is just the way it was back in the Bible days, in Jesus' time. This was just good, old-fashioned Jewish hospitality. Have you ever had your feet washed by someone? We don't normally do that, do we, in our culture today? I wonder what the modern equivalent of foot washing would be. Anyway, this is just the way it was in the ancient Jewish culture. But understanding this simple but sort of gracious, profound practice helps us understand our story. It was just before the Passover feast. I wonder if you remember what the Jews celebrated at Passover. Do you remember that? They celebrated when God had saved their ancestors, the Israelites, from slavery in Egypt. Like, this was like Independence Day or Canada Day for them, ramped up. This was a huge celebration for them, a very important feast. And what do we like to do on big celebrations? Oh, we love to eat. And that's exactly what the Jewish people did too. So they gather at the table, and they have a sumptuous feast to celebrate the Passover. But interestingly, as we imagine this scene, here we think that usually we are seated at a table, at a dinner table, sitting on chairs. Well, that usually was not the case back in Jesus' time. The people usually reclined. They would lay down on a couch. I wonder what that would be like. I think some of you would like to lay down while you eat. I think that'd be quite fun. That's what the Jewish people did. They would recline on the couch and kind of lean towards the table as they eat. So they're eating away, celebrating, talking about various things, and then something unexpected happens. Jesus gets up, takes off his tunic, puts on a towel, fills a water basin full of water, and begins to wash the disciples' feet. The room went from chatter to complete silence. No one expected this. Jesus went from disciple to disciple, washing their feet in complete silence, jaws dropped, mouths wide open, shock, surprise. No one spoke, except, of course, for Peter. If you know Peter in the New Testament, he loves to talk. Lord, are you going to wash my feet? You don't realize what I'm doing right now, but someday you will. But Lord, you're my teacher. My Lord, why are you doing this? This isn't the way it's supposed to be. And yet that's the way it was. Jesus, the Son of God, washing the disciples' feet. Talk about surprise. Talk about blessing. Talk about grace. Peter, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Then not just my feet, Lord, but my hands and my head as well. No, Peter, that's not necessary. Those who've had a bath only need their feet washed. Their whole body is clean. So what is Jesus talking about when he says, your whole body is clean, you only need your feet washed? Well, using this common but ancient act of hospitality, this deep act of servanthood, without saying the actual words, Jesus is pointing to the cross by which we're washed. Now, if you think about this, it may seem strange that we're cleansed by blood, but that's how it works in God's kingdom. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, we read this. The law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. This is just the way God designed things to work in his kingdom. And that's what we see as we follow the pages of the Old Testament, the stories of the sacrifices, etc. We see the people shedding blood of animals to wash away their sins. But as the writer of Hebrews also says, the blood of bulls and goats, all those bloody Old Testament sacrifices, just simply isn't enough. Only Jesus shed blood can wash away all our sins. That's why he died on the cross. And this is why John could go on to say later in his first letter, if we walk in the light, as he's in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. So when Jesus washes the disciples' feet, what is he doing? Well, he's showing them gracious hospitality. He is serving them. But even more, he is pointing to the cross on which he will soon die for the sins of the world, for our sins too, so we could all be clean from our sin. Ah, now we understand why Peter says, not just my feet, Lord, but my hands and my head too. I think Peter is starting to get it. If this is what it takes for me to be with you, Lord, then wash all of me. And that's exactly what will happen soon enough when Jesus goes to the cross. Jesus cleanses us through the cross. And this is the grace in the text, what Jesus implies through the foot washing. I wonder what you would have done at that moment. Imagine you're one of the disciples. You're reclining at the table, enjoying the Passover feast. And then to your great surprise, Jesus gets up, takes off his tunic, puts on his towel, begins to wash the disciples' feet. You're watching all of this unfold. You're speechless. You are just absolutely surprised. And then Jesus comes to you. What will you do? Will you let him wash your feet? Remember, Jesus said, if you don't let me wash your feet, you can't have any part with me. I wonder what you would do in this situation. I know you're surprised by this move. I am too. I mean, aren't we supposed to be serving our Lord and Master? Shouldn't we have gone and washed Jesus' feet first? But we didn't. In fact, we neglected our Lord and we went our own way. And so now as Jesus comes to wash our feet, we naturally feel ashamed, unworthy, guilty, utterly surprised, touched by his gracious act of hospitality. And we are reminded that Jesus cleanses us through the cross. So will you let Jesus wash your feet? You give in. You surrender. You let Jesus wash your feet. And while he's doing it, you feel deeply moved, touched. Why would Jesus do this for me? I'm a nobody. I'm just a servant, a student. I'm nobody in this world. But Jesus washes your feet anyway. And that's what he does for us through the cross. He washes our feet. He cleanses us through the cross. This seems too good to be true. But this is exactly what we learn today in our story, and this is the gospel story that is told over and over again through Scripture. God sent his Son to come down, to put on flesh, to enter our world, to join the neighborhood, to reach out to lost sinners like you and me, dirty, desperately needing to be cleansed. And what does he do? He washes our feet. Jesus cleanses us through the cross. So will you receive Him? Will you receive this gracious act of hospitality today? Will you let Jesus wash your feet? And after doing that, will you wash the feet of others? After Jesus washes the disciples' feet, He returns to His spot at the table, and He says, "Now that I've washed your feet, you should wash one another's feet." I wonder what that looks like today. What does it look like to wash each other's feet in our modern culture? Most of us don't practice actual foot washing, although some churches still do, out of literal obedience to Jesus' command. But I don't think that Jesus is saying we have to necessarily literally wash each other's feet. But what He's asking us to do is to serve each other in love in meaningful ways today in our context. So how can we wash each other's feet today? How can we serve each other in love just like Jesus serves us? Clearing the snow off your neighbor's sidewalk. Attending the game or recital of a student in your church. Providing a meal for a family who's in need. Inviting a family over for dinner. Serving food at a soup kitchen. Volunteering at a Christian camp. Caring for children in the church nursery. Reaching out to a new student in your class. Feeding the hungry, giving water to the thirsty, showing hospitality to the stranger, looking after the sick, visiting the prisoners. Could all of these be modern examples of foot washing? Now, I'm not entirely sure what foot washing looks like today, but I know it when I receive it, and you know it too. Jesus cleanses us through the cross, the ultimate act of love and service. And now He calls all of us to wash each other's feet in response to His love. So how is the Lord calling you to do that? I invite you to think about that today. To take a few moments today, on Sunday when you're resting, to just ask the Lord, what is it that you want me to do in response to your love? How can I wash the feet of someone else in need? And then determine by the end of the day to do something about it, to follow through. Because as Jesus concludes, "Now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them." In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and all God's people say, Amen.
Songs, we're going to sing two songs in response, partly because we love to sing, and partly because singing forms us. It forms our actions and our response to what we've heard. So we're going to sing words that remind us that we stand as children of the promise. God has offered His forgiveness to us through the blood of Jesus, We can stand by faith in that promise, and then we can go and do the impossible, washing others' feet, practicing humility and service. And so we'll start the song, and we will invite you to join us for a little bit.
Thank you. Just a boy with a sling and a stone, but the heart of a lion dared him to go. To hear the sound of a sinner called, die out with the sound of a giant's fall. I dare to believe in incredible things. Ready to go, I'm ready to go.
And all God's people say, Amen. That never grows old, by the way. Soul Patrol, thank you for washing our feet today, as it were, through serving us as worship leaders. Now, we are all invited to go and wash each other's feet this week and through the season of Lent. I encourage you, students, to keep leading worship. Don't stop. Thank you, Soul Patrol leaders, for mentoring another generation of worship leaders. Thank you and well done. Jesus has washed our feet through his shed blood on the cross. We are called to go out and wash each other's feet, so let us go now and do that. Here I am, send me. Let's go with his blessing. So may the peace of the Lord Christ go with you wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness. Protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and all God's people say,
Amen.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.